amazing amount of rain here in Yerushalayim in the last couple of days. And I'd like to raise the question about a bracha over a rainbow, a keshes. Mara keshes berkiya shamayim. During the rainy months, during the Imos HaGshamim, it's quite common that we see a rainbow. And there's quite a bit of confusion as to what our response to a rainbow, seeing a rainbow, is and should be. For example, there's a bracha that the Gemara establishes. We'll soon see the Gemara in Masechet Chagiga about a bracha over a rainbow. And the Gemara in Chagiga does not seem to be particularly excited about a rainbow. The Gemara says, Kol shelo chas al kvod kono, roi lo shelo boli olam, umayhi, Rabbi Abba Omer za mistakel bekeshes. Dichsiv kimara hakeshes ashayya ba'anon, biyom ageshem, kimara hanega saviv, hu marad musk kvod Hashem. And the Gemara goes on to say, kol mistakel b'shlosh dvarim ein of kehos, and the first of the three is keshes. So let's just summarize the Gemara in Masechet Chagiga. One who is flippant about the honor of his creator, it is better that he should not have come into this world. And what are the cases included under this kind of lo chas al kvod kono? Is someone who looks at a rainbow, hamistakel b'keshes. And the Gemara adds that hamistakel b'keshes is ein of chaos. One looks at a rainbow, his vision will dim. So we see that the attitude towards gazing at a rainbow is not a positive one. And yet, paradoxically, on the other hand, there's a bracha that we recite over the rainbow, as we'll see. In fact, the Mishnah in Avos, in the fifth perek, says that Nivra Keshes Bebein Hashmashos, the Keshes was created at the very twilight of creation, of the eve of Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos. Asar Dvarim Nivru Be'erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, the Eluhain, and one on the list is the Keshes. And we have to understand that if the rainbow is a part of creation, it's a natural phenomenon, it's basically something that seems to be good, and yet I'm not sure. Like, Lamaisa, what do I do if I see a rainbow? I have to recite a bracha, correct? What if I only see part of the rainbow, half a rainbow? Do I have to see the entire arc of the rainbow or only part of the rainbow? Do I recite a bracha over a rainbow at night or only during the day? Should I tell my friend about a rainbow in the sky? Or maybe since there's a problem with gazing at the rainbow, better that I don't tell my friends. So I thought we would talk about this issue of a rainbow because at this time of the year, in the winter, it becomes quite relevant during the rainy season. And we're going to try to reconcile the fact that on the one hand, Chazal have some negative statements about seeing or being mistakel in a keshes. On the other hand, a special bracha is recited upon seeing a rainbow. If you take a look in the Gemara in Brachos, on Daf Nuntes Omed Aleph, the Gemara says the following. Omar Rabbi Alachsadroi, Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Haroe es hakeshes ba'anon, Baruchei vadai mevarech. He sees a keshes, he's got to be mevarech. My mevarech, Baruch zocher habris. Blessed Hashem who remembers the covenant. P'masnisa tana Rabbi Shmuel b'nosh Rabbi Yochanan b'Baruch Omer, Neman b'briso, he, with a capital H, is trustworthy. He's reliable to fulfill his covenant. V'kayem b'mamoro. We'll see what that means. And Amar Rav Papa, Hilkach, Nimrinu Chavayim. So Rav Papa wants to integrate both of these nuschos, the nuschach of Rabbi Shua ben Levi Zohar Abris with the nuschach of Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore he comes up with Baruch Zohar Habris, V'neman B'briso, V'kayom B'mamoro. And we're going to see in a minute that that's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. So again, we're reciting a bracha over the rainbow, and the nusach habracha is a bit of a sugya, and the nusach seems to reflect the psukim in Bereishis Perek Tes, where the rainbow is a covenant, a bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kol Bo'i Olam and humanity. And Hashem declares, "Vayomer Elokim Zos Os Habris Asher Ani Nosein Beini Uveinichem Ubein Kol Nefesh Chaya Asher Itchem Lidoros Olam Es Kashti Nasati Banon Vayisol Os Bris Beini Uvein Haaretz Vayob Anani Anon Al Haaretz Vinirasa Keshes Bi Anon Vizachati Es Brisi Asher Beini Uveinichem Uvein Kol Nefesh Chaya." Bechol basar v'lo ye'od mayim l'mabu l'shaches kol basar. V'oisa keshes banan v'ra'isi. And then Hashem says, v'risiya lizkar bris olam bein elokim u'bein kol nefesh chaya b'chol basar shal ha'oretz v'yom elokim al noach zos osa bris ashar kimosi beini u'bein kol basar al ha'oretz. And basically what the Pasuk is saying is that Hashem will see the rainbow, He'll remember His eternal bris, His covenant, between me and you, between all living flesh, there shall never be once more a flood to destroy all flesh. And amongst the Mefarshim, they find the stira l'chora between, on the one hand, the keshes as a natural phenomenon, as we saw in the Mishnah in Avos, that was created Bein Hashmoshos on Erev Shabbos, and the fact that it's a new bris. If we understand the rainbow as a, physically, naturally, as a phenomenon in nature, and yet the rainbow is now a sign of a divine bris struck up between Hashem and mankind after the flood. So then, when was the chidush, so to speak, of this phenomenon called a rainbow? Was it after the Mabul, or was it built into creation? The Ibn Ezra, here in Bereishis Tes, Pasuk Yudalit, says the following. Hashem, chizek or Hashemesh achar ha-Mabul. God strengthened the power of the sunlight after the flood. And this chizuk, apparently, this reinforcement, is what allowed the light to, shall we say, to be split into its various colors, its constituent colors. So this concept, which the Ibn Ezra formulates as Hashem chizek or Hashemesh, a reinforcement of the power of sunlight, is what happened after the Mabul. That's what Ibn Ezra says. And this is responsible for the creation of the phenomenon of a rainbow. In other words, it didn't exist from the beginning, from the inception of creation. It's only a result of this chizuk. That was the chiddush. And because of the, as we said before, the reinforcement of the power of sunlight, that allowed that light to split into its various colors. And that became a simon and an os that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never bring a mabul on the aretz. So again, this splitting up of light into its colors was something new that came into existence as a new phenomenon after the Mabul. So says the Ibn Ezra. The Abarbanel has a different approach. Again, he's asking the same question to try to reconcile the fact that on the one hand, the rainbow is a natural phenomenon, on the other hand, it's being created as a bris. Let's continue with the Abarbanel. We'll try to shut off our cell phones if we can, thank you. And the Abarbanel is taking a different approach than that of the Ibn Ezra. And what exactly changed as a result of the in the aftermath of the Mabul? And he writes like this: Mitchilas Habria Haya Hayu Ha'edim Ha'olim Min Ha'aretz Shmenim V'Gasim Mi'od. Okay, we talk about the clouds, and the clouds are very dense and very thick. L'chozek ha'aretz, and this somehow reflects the makeup of the land itself. U'dishnoseha b'briya. Kasharichem Hashem al haoretz, achrei hatochas hanonim hakodmin b'mabul, himit es haedim v'digdek hanonim kol kach, ad shenitzotze Hashemesh yavru b'hem. So basically, the change is not as the Ibn Ezra would have it, in the power of the sunlight, but rather the change is in the makeup of the clouds, the constituents, the way the clouds constitute each other. And as a result of the Mabul, the clouds become less dense, more airy, and that is mitoch kach tisrashel hakeshes banan. In other words, the sunlight can pass through the clouds. Until now, the clouds were so dense, there was like a barrier that didn't allow the sunlight to penetrate. And as a result, we have rainbows. He says, "Be'inyan shehu hamakabel hamiti li'oso israshmus v'lo yuklu od lahamtir geshem shotef al haaretz." So when the Torah says, according to the Abarbanel, es kashti nosati be'anan, basically what it means is that the sunlight could now penetrate the ananim because the clouds are less dense and more airy. That's what we get from the Abarbanel. So again, both the Ibn Ezra and the Abarbanel are struggling to understand what chidush, what new change in the atmosphere was created, was nischadesh after the Mabul. And the Abarbanel and the Ibn Ezra have two different variations of how this change came about. There's another interpretation that I want to mention here that told us Yitzchak with regard to the phenomenon of the rainbow and the Os Bris that was established after the Mabul, and it's specifically with regard to the Nusach of Zocher HaBris. And I don't know if we can get access to the told us Yitzchak, but we'll try to do so. What we do want to emphasize, however, is that the Ramban in Breishis Tes Pasuk Yud Beis explains the Tzura of the Marakeshes by writing Hakeshes Lo Asa'o Sheyu Raglov Lemala Sheyir Ki'ilu Min Hashamayim Morimbo Vayishlach Chitzov Vayafitzem Ba'aretz Aval Asa'o Behepech Mizeh Laharos Shelo Yorum Bo Min Hashamayim. Rabban says that it would seem from this sign, this os, that the rainbow that appears in the clouds was not part of creation, but rather now, ata, bara Hashem chadosha. In other words, at the time of Noah, God created something new, and he made a rainbow appear in the sky on a cloudy day. In other words, if rainbows had already existed, how would it become, how would it serve as a sign of Hashem's goodwill? The Ibn Ezra, of course, as we said before, is of the opinion that rainbows did not exist before the flood. That would also seem to be indicated by other Mefarshim, like the Abarbanel and the Radak. The Amru, and now the Ramban quotes the commentators who say, regarding the symbolic meaning of this sign, that God did not make the rainbow with its ends pointing upwards and the arch part of the bow pointing downwards, whereby it would appear as if they were shooting from heaven with it, and that the Ramban here is paraphrasing a pasuk in Tehillim, he will send forth his arrows and scatter them in the land. Aval, but rather he made the bow in the opposite manner, indicating that they would not shoot it from heaven. So again, if the rainbow would have had its ends pointing upwards, then it would look like the arch of a bow pointing downwards, as if to say that there are arrows being shot from the heavens, and therefore the surah, the shape of the rainbow, was made by God in the opposite surah, the opposite direction, which is indicating that there's no shooting down from the heavens because the arch part of the bow is not pointing downwards, but rather pointing upwards. And the Ramban adds that such is the manner of warriors, derech hanilchamim, lafal chosav biyadam, to invert their bow in their hands when they wish to declare peace, yikru l'shalom l'misha k'negdom, towards their opponent. So this is a sign of peace, says the Ramban. V'od, she'ein la'keshes yeser l'chonein chitzim olav. In other words, on this bow, there's no string on which to place arrows. Right? It's just the shape of the arch, but there's no room for an arrow. A bow that cannot shoot is a symbol of peace, says the Ramban. So in any event, we have many different explanations and variations about the phenomenon of the rainbow, and at the end of the day, what we have is a very important phenomenon, which, as we said, is the Os Bris, and we make a bracha when we see the rainbow. And this bracha is codified in Shulchan Aruch in Aruch Chaim Simon Reish Chaf Tes. Haroa hakeshes omer baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam zocher habris neman bebriso v'kayam b'mamoro. Fine. Now, I want to discuss with you for a moment the keshes she'al gabe mapole mayim. And this means that you can sometimes see a rainbow over a waterfall, and the Gemara's language seems to indicate that we don't make a bracha unless we see the keshes betoch mitocha anan. And that's the Rambam's language in Perek Yud Milchus Brachos Haloch Tezayin Haroa Keshes Be'onan Mivarech Brachat Hashem Elokeinu Mechlom Zocher Bris V'nan Mon Briso V'kayim B'mamoro. It would seem that we do not recite a bracha over a rainbow that was created on top of a waterfall. And you will see such rainbows quite frequently, quite commonly. For example, if you go to Niagara Falls, you will see a rainbow over the falls. But this keshes is not a keshes ba'anan. It has no connection to the clouds up in the sky, and therefore it would not come under the Os Bris between HaKadosh Baruch and Boi Olam. However, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Chav Tes, he leaves out, he omits the word Anan. He writes, Haroa Keshes Omer Brochato Hashem Alken Machlam Zocher Abris Neman Brisovakai Ma'amoro. But if you look at the poskim, as we'll soon see, we do not make a bracha over a waterfall, or in this case, Niagara Falls, and they assume that that's true even according to the Shulchan Aruch, despite the fact that he left out the word Anan. For example, if you take a look in the Tshuvas of Rivos Ephraim, he writes, Yesh lechalik bein mara keshes shenira lefamim lebein mara keshes tmidis ba'ofen she'en levarach ela al keshes shenireis le'itim le'achar hagshamim she'i os habris shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu bein HaKadosh Baruch Hu levein boy olam. Now, according to Rivos Ephraim, when you have a constant phenomenon of a rainbow, you don't make a bracha on that. The only time you make a bracha on a rainbow is nireis le'itim li'achar gshamim, which is something that's seen in the cloud on, you know, in the aftermath of a rainfall. So basically what we're seeing here is that a bracha is only made on a rainbow that we see in the sky, a rainbow in the clouds, but not what we might call an artificial rainbow, which is created by a waterfall or by a prism. Because the Pasuk in Bereishis specifically mentions the rainbow in the cloud. That's what it says, Akeshes Ba'anon. And the Gemara itself says that Haro Akeshes Ba'anon, he makes the bracha. So that we're talking about rainbows in the cloud, and that's something that we want to emphasize here. Now we have a tshuva in the Nachlas Pinchas she'ein levarech ela al keshes shenireis berakia hashamayim. He also says it's got to be seen in the rakia hashamayim, as the pasuk says, "Zakeshes nasati be'onon." And basically, this literature is summarized and anthologized in a kovetz that's called Darom. And basically, we're saying that although the Shulchan Aruch does not mention that you saw the rainbow in a cloud, the poskim write that the bracha is only recited on a rainbow that's seen in the clouds. Now, in this sense, we can point out that there's a difference between the bracha and the rainbow, in contrast to the bracha on other sights that we see or phenomena that we see. The rainbow, one recites the bracha every time one sees it. For example, let's say you see more than one rainbow within 30 days. We will still recite the bracha. Each rainbow is distinct. Each rainbow engenders a chiyuv bracha. Each rainbow is a result of a different cloud or a different combination of water and clouds, and therefore requires its own bracha. In other cases, we say that you don't recite the bracha unless 30 days have passed since the previous bracha, since this previous phenomenon. You see a friend, then you don't make the bracha a second time. When you see him 2 weeks later, you have to wait 30 days. But here, with regard to rainbow, every single rainbow that you see is a result of a different formulation of a different cloud and waters, and therefore the light coming in is a simon of Keshes Bionon, of the Bris of Hashem, and Neman Bebriso, and therefore we're going to recite the bracha. Now, what about the case of a Chatzi Keshes? That means you saw half of a Keshes. You didn't see the entire rainbow. You just saw part of it. So the Bir Halacha in Siman Reish Chaf Tes, you'll see it here in the paragraph that starts Haroa HaKeshes, he vacillates about this point. Should one make a bracha if he sees half a rainbow? Lo Nisbayer, he writes, Im Be'inon Dafka Shireu Bitmunas Keshes Du Chatzi Goren Agula O Afilu Miktas Mimenu Dayo. So one must see the full arch of the bow, of the keshes, that's kechatzi goren agula, or is it enough to see part of it? Afilu miktsas mimenu dai. And if we take the Ramban, this is my own point here. If we take the Ramban, that the Ramban wants to see an arch because that's the bow, and the bow again is turned towards the earth, so it's indicative of Shalom. So the Tzuras Keshes would have to be a Chatzi Eagle Sholem, so that it, you know, it's a bow that could be used by an archer to send out the arrows. And if you only saw a part of it, which means just light that's coming through the clouds, then that's not really a keshes. It doesn't have the full tzura of the Chatzi Eagle. So basically, we're left with this suffolk of the Bir Halacha as to whether one must see the entire rainbow, the full arc of the bow, in order to make the bracha, or is it sufficient to see part of the arc? And this question he leaves unanswered. If you take a look in Tshuvas van Hagos, so you'll see that we apply the principle of Safek Brachos Lahakel, and therefore one should not recite the bracha unless he sees the entire bow, the bow shape of the rainbow. And again, as we said before, this would seem to reflect the approach of the Ramban to the whole idea of the bris that's symbolized by the Shalom of the rainbow. Now, what about a keshes balayla, if you see a rainbow at night? And this is quite a rare phenomenon, which is a result of what we call shviras karnei or hachozos me'ashemesh balayla. In other words, this light that's reflected off the surface of the moon. We're not talking about direct sunlight, and it's refracted off of moisture-laden clouds in the atmosphere. So occasionally you can see a rainbow at night, and as we said, it's produced by reflected light, which is reflected from the sun off the surface of the moon, and off the moisture-laden clouds in the atmosphere, and we could call them in English moonbows. And they're somewhat smaller and more relatively faint if you compare it to a direct solar rainbow during the day. And that's due to the fact that there's a smaller amount of light that's reflected from the surface of the moon. But nevertheless, they can be visible to the naked eye. And the Marsham has a discussion about this rare phenomenon, and he wants to know whether or not we should make the bracha. So let's read the language of the text. He says, "Omnam sibas haviyosam vayvoyos haomud hisiba achas vunitzots hashemen achozer el ha'ed shekneged ha'av benitzots hazoreach min ha'mayim ha'mispazer bakosel hashov elov." Upa'amim yira keshes minitzos hashemesh balayla minitzos hareach v'omnam yira balel mole yerech imzrichasa om shkiyasa. And in the language of the Marsham, again he goes into detail here about the phenomenon of a moonbow, and he says linyan bracha yesh levarach al keshes hanireis balayla kevan shelo chilku b'kach chazal. In other words, since we don't find that Chazal made any distinction between day and night with regard to the bracha on a rainbow, therefore it would seem that one should recite the bracha even on the rainbow. However, in the Hashmatos of the Tshuvas Maram, he indicates that from Tosus and Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaf Dalet and Aleph, it would seem that Eina Keshes Nireis Balayla. There cannot be a rainbow at night. But even though in Hashmatos he quotes that Tosus, he doesn't change his psak, and hora lamaisa la'alocha that yesh levarech alamare. He doesn't change his ruling, and therefore we have the psak of the Marsham that we do in fact make a bracha on a rainbow at night. Again, it's a little more faint and relatively smaller. It's not as, shall we say, profound as a rainbow by day, but nevertheless we can make a bracha on this rainbow at night. Now we began our discussion today with the Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Tezayin, that the Gemara says that one should not look at the rainbow. And the Rush raises the question as how to reconcile this with the fact that we recite a bracha. You can't tell me it's prohibited to look at the keshes and then say we'll make a bracha when you see the keshes. So what is the meaning of this Easter estaklus? And the Gemara warns us that your vision will be dimmed if you look at the rainbow. And what bechlal is the explanation, is the reason for this prohibition of looking at the rainbow? And the poskim, and this goes all the way back to the Avudraham in his section called Birchas HaRe'iyah, he writes that there's a difference between Re'iyah and Histaklus. Re'iyah mehira muteres, but Histaklus, his bonenus dikdekanit, asura. Now, the Torah and Shulchan Aruch write, also listakel bo biyoser, in the same Reish Chav Tes that we quoted earlier. And the reason for this histaklus, for this prohibition against concentrating one's vision on the rainbow, is, as the Gemara seems to indicate, the keshes, the rainbow, is the symbol of kvod Hashem, the glory of God. And therefore it's not appropriate to focus, to concentrate one's attention and one's eyesight on this phenomenon. Labit b'kavod Hashem. And we'll see this if you take a look in Shmos, Perek Chav Dalid, in Psukim Yud, or Yud Aleph. And the Tosis Rid has an interesting explanation. He writes, what's the comparison between the Keshes and the Kavod Hashem, the rainbow, and the glory of Hashem? He says, "Kimoshlo nita lahavchin bichadus bein tzvoya keshes kachlo nita ladas es Hashem." Interesting symbolic presentation here of the Tosis Rid. He says that just as the colors of a rainbow are indiscernible, one cannot tell where one color ends and the other begins. That's the nature of the colors of a rainbow. So too, we cannot know Hashem. And to symbolize this ignorance that we cannot know Hashem, lo nita ladas Hashem, we refrain from looking at the rainbow. In other words, when you turn aside from a rainbow, you're basically saying that I am ignorant. You're declaring, I am ignorant of yediyas Hashem. We cannot know Hashem. And what stimulated that statement is the fact that we, again, only for a second, we saw the colors of the rainbow. We noticed that they are indiscernible. Lo nita lahavchin bechadus. You cannot, in a very sharp way, differentiate and discern between the various colors of the rainbow. And that is a message to us to declare we cannot discern the yediyas Hashem. We're ignorant of Hashem. But at the same time, there is a bracha that's recited on the rainbow, and that implies that we're allowed to see it. As the Rush says, how is one permitted to look at the rainbow as he recites the blessing? And yet, you're not allowed to look at a rainbow. And again, this is the chiluk that the Rush makes, and all the posts can follow suit, between gazing and seeing, between focusing one's looking at the rainbow, focusing on it, and gazing on it. That's histaklus as opposed to re'iyah. So re'iyah itself is mutter, but we're not allowed to be mistakel, we're not allowed to gaze at it. By the way, there's a similar chiluk made by the poskim in Evan Ezer, also in Yoredeo, with regard to Stakles Benoshim, also Stakel Beisha, Fil Vespektano, that's a Stakles. It doesn't mean you can't look at a woman when you're saying hello and you're being nice, but to be Mestakel and with a gaze, or, you know, Mestakel B'Pnei Kala, is the Gemara says terrible things, is that's a Stakles. But Re'iya is Mutter. And we should mention the Me'iri. The Me'iri, in his explanation of the Mishnah in Chagiga, says that what the Gemara means by istaklus is not istaklus in the physical sense. You know, he's not talking about literally looking at the rainbow. That's not what the Gemara forbids, but rather istaklus sichlus. We're talking more about not a physical looking at the rainbow, but to delve into perhaps the mysteries of the, you know, the pnimius and the sod, and do a whole mechkar on the way God rules the universe, on hanhogas HaKadosh Baruch Hu bolomo. And when the Gemara says kol shelo chas al kvod kono, what the Gemara means to say about a mistakel b'keshes, it means nichnas lemechkar haramuz b'mikra. You know, he looks into the passages of the Torah that deal with the rainbow in Parshas Noach, and he tries to comprehend the secrets of the rainbow. And therefore, in a sense, he is trying to be choker the dvus, the marit dvus kvod Hashem. In other words, the rainbow, insofar as it's a phenomenon in the physical world, a reflection of kvod Hashem, of the glory of Hashem, you know, one has to deal with that with a very great sense of yiras hakavod. And then, so it comes out according to the Me'iri that, and that also seems to be indicated by the Rambam, that there's no Iser, the Rambam himself omits the Iser Staklus Bekeshes. It would seem that, you know, looking and gazing even at this natural phenomenon of the Keshes is not prohibited at all, but rather we're talking about a whole different type of gazing, and the Staklus that we have in mind here is a Histaklus, shall we say, machshavtit, if we could say. You know, it's a conceptual kind of histaklus. It's a mechkar that we shouldn't get involved in. You know, the Chazal speak about Darbo and Nichlusu Lepardes. You know, sometimes when you're not royal lekach and you go into these mechkarim and you delve into mysteries that are beyond human comprehension, it becomes a very dangerous kind of thing. And in a sense, it undermines the kavod and the glory of Hashem. That's the way the Me'iri would seem to understand the Gemara in Chagiga, and that seems to also be indicated by the fact the Rambam omits this Iser Estaklus. And it's possible that even the Shulchan Aruch is really talking about an Iser Hisbonenus Bekeshes. In other words, a result of Chakira Sichlis, that when a person, you know, concentrates too much on a keshes and he tries to understand it, it's almost like he's trying to figure out what God and divinity is all about. Okay, we asked the question before at the outset about telling others about the rainbow. You know, should I run around and tell us, hey, come see the rainbow? And it might surprise you that the place to look for this is Dafka and Hilchas Avelis in Yoredeo in Siman Tov Beis. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Yud Beis, based on the Gemara Pesachim Daf Gimel Amid Beis, where the Gemara seems to say that we're not supposed to tell bad tidings, bring bad tidings, be the harbinger of bad tidings. The Gemara says, "Misha meslo mes v'lo nodolo, eino chovish yomelo afil biyav v'imo valzeh nemar motzi diba huksil." So the Gemara says that even if someone dies, you're not supposed to tell that other person about that death. And even if it's his own parents, because that's called motzi diba huksil. Well, again, how exactly this is mishtalshel b'halacha is very complicated. Under what situations do you deny someone that piece of knowledge? But in any event, does this sugya in Pesachim have any connection to our question about a rainbow? So the Chayodom, this is a Chelik Aleph Klal Samach Gimel in Sif Dalid, he makes the following comment, the following Ha'ara. He says that this Gemara applies Hu Adin Bamir L'Chaver Sheish Keshes U'Matzasi V'Sefer Echad Shmo Nela Mimenu Mimeni She'en L'Hagil L'Chaver Sheish Keshes Mitam Motzi Diba. The Chayodim is ruling that one should not tell his friend that there's a rainbow in the sky. This too is a bad omen. And this halacha is mentioned by the Mishnah Berurah himself. And basically this halacha really reflects the negative side of seeing a keshes, seeing a rainbow in the Rakia Shamayim. It's a siman ra. Why is it a siman ra? So let's take a look at Rashi in Breishis Tes. As we go through the Psukim, Yudalid, Tesvav, Rashi says, Kshetala b'machshava lefonai lahavi choshech v'avadun li'olam bein midas hadin shel mala u'beinechem ani roa es ha'os v'nizkar. In other words, when does Hashem look and, so to speak, remind himself of the bris? This is the negative side of seeing a rainbow. There's a divine anger. There's a desire on the part of Hashem to destroy the world, chas v'sholom. And k'shetal v'achshava l'fani lovi choshech v'avadlam, when the idea entertains, crosses my mind, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's a midas hadin shel mala, and if I don't do something to stop my anger, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the midas hadin shel mala will come down lamata, is then what's going to block that? What's going to prevent that? It's ani roa es ha'os v'nizkar. I see the rainbow and I remember the bris. In fact, the Yerushalmi in Brachos of the ninth parak says, very famous, b'dar shekulo zakai lo nira hakeshes klal. And therefore, kol yomav shel Rav Shimon bar Yochai lo nirasa hakeshes bionon. And you'll see this in the Bavli, in the Gemara, in Ksuba Staf Ayin Zayin, and you'll get a look, take a look at that Rashi, but what it means is that in the days of Rav Shimon bar Yochai, a rainbow is never seen in the sky, because the rainbow is really a bad omen, indicating that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaDin is inclined to destroy the world. That's a pretty scary idea. And to run around now and tell your friends about the keshes, says the Chayodim, is not a good idea. However, on a pure halakhic level, it's very difficult to swallow this pill, this Chayodim, because there's a bracha that can be made as a result of the bris. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to destroy the world. And if you take a look in our Chayim, there's a sefer called the Bris Kahuna. And towards the beginning of that sefer, he brings a minog from Kehilas Jerba, that's in Tunisia, in Jerba, Dafka Mevasrim al Maras Hakeshes, that we should publicize the sight, the appearance of a rainbow. Aminig Poshet Po, Techo Mishero Hakeshes, Omel Chavero O Lechaverov, Levarech al Zeh. That it's a very good idea and it's recommended, highly recommended, to tell others about the appearance of the rainbow so they too can recite the bracha over the rainbow. And then he says, what about the negative omen of the rainbow? He says, Umasha kosav hakafachayim zal b'shem achayi odam di'ein lahagil l'chaver sheish kes v'shemotzi diba l'anias daiti eino nira. He doesn't accept the chiddush of the chayi odam. It doesn't appear to be right. The Adrab, on the contrary, as we say in Yiddish, Pukfaker, Anachnu Smechim, we are very happy, V'nosim Toda, and therefore we're going to raise our voices in praise and thanksgiving to Hashem, U'brach Hashem, recite this Brach Hashem Bechazdo, because of His great compassion and His mercy, Karas HaBris HaZos, He entered into this Bris, Shalala Hashkis as Olamo Od, a covenant not to destroy the world again. The ode, the other of tvei odif lahagilus los kadesh kol echad aroa. And even on the dimension of the negative side, the bad omen, it's kedai, it's worthwhile to tell my friends so that not only I, but the one who heard about it, will realize that it's a very important moment now that obligates me in tshuva. Because if Hashem is thinking about destroying the world, chas v'shalom, then we have to do tshuva. He absolutely confirms the minog that we should notify others and give them the opportunity to do tshuva, give them the opportunity to thank Hashem for this amazing phenomenon, which is indicative of the great bris of Hashem. And therefore, just to summarize, what we're saying is that as far as the questions that we asked at the outset, and the stira between, on the one hand, making a bracha, and the other hand, that the Isur Staklus, if we take the Isur Staklus literally, what it means is that we're gazing at the rainbow. But to look at the rainbow, Adarabba, that's going to engender Chiv Hodoya. We're going to thank Hashem for the bris. We know that Hashem is Neman. He's Zocher HaBris. And he's Neman Bebriso. He's Mekayim Amoro. And he has mercy on us. And with regard to seeing part of Vekeshes, that seems to be an issue. And we might apply the principle of Safek Brachos Lahakel. We will not make a brach on a Keshes over Mapoli Mayim, according to certain opinions. And we will make a bracha over a rainbow more often than 30 days. And we might even be inclined to follow the minhag of Gerba to notify others and give them the opportunity to recite the bracha. Yiratzo may be his will, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always have rachmim on us. Yatzilenu mikol tzara. He should save us from any possible trouble that we could have, and we've had too many of them recently. Via Vienu, Lagula Shlema, may he save us and bring about the ultimate redemption. Bimheir of Yamenu. Amen.